good to be in the house of God with you tonight. Again, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you to our online service. If you are first time with us, if you want to, go out and invite somebody as well to come on and join us online. We've picked up a few more subscribers to our YouTube channel. I'm excited about that. Also, we got a few requests for some devotionals, so we want to make sure that we get those out to people as well. I have a few prayer requests that I want to get through and do those first before we start Bible study tonight. Also, at the same time, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's been coming to prayer. It's very encouraging to have you all come out. Those of you who have yet to come, I'm continuing to be prayerful that you'll put that on your list of things to do. We have extended the amount of time that we're here at the church from 7 to 8 to 6 to 8, just to make sure that it gives you a little more time to get out. But, you know, there's a lot going on in the world, a lot of things happening, and we need to be prayerful and be praying so that God will not only keep us individually, but also our families and others. So let me run through these prayer requests right quick. I'm going to first just kind of say them, and then we'll pray corporately together for them. I don't want to rush it, but we have quite a few, and I just want to make sure we're able to read them all, and then we'll pray. One is for Richard Bushnell, with suffering now from Parkinson's. Doris Paul has been hospitalized due to congestive heart failure. Again, we want to pray for Sister Sonja. She had just said her mother, three of her brothers passed this year, two of them in the last 14 days. Leslie Balancier was having pre-op for spine surgery. She had the pre-op on August 24th, and then the surgery's on September 20th. And we've prayed already, but we want to continue to pray about that. Kenneth Grant and family in the death of his mother. And Brittany Lewis, whose both parents are in the hospital with COVID. Sister Joanna Freeman had just requested prayer in general online, and we're going to pray concerning that. And then Sister Lori asked that we would pray for Sister Rosalind. Of course, she's pregnant right now and getting close to having her baby. And then Allie Shields is sick, and we're going to be praying for her as well. So let's pray concerning all these requests and all these people. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house tonight. We thank you for the word of God, and we ask that you would, first and foremost, touch the lives of these people that we have mentioned through these prayer requests. They have different ailments and things that are going on, and some are just requesting that your comfort would be for family members who have suffered either death or illness. We pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works through us in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that these people would be and receive their healing from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Father, we ask it even now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to see if we can get back to, we've been doing a message that was entitled Strongholds. And in that message, we had a couple different approaches to this, if you will. We started off with just a general discussion about strongholds and what they were. And we talked about how strongholds amounted to opinions and other things that people had. Ideas, reasonings, etc., that people have that are not easily broken, arguments about things. So then what we did was we began to break that down into what amounted to three categories is basically what I've done. And by breaking it into those categories, I was pretty convinced after prayer and just a lot of reading that just about every serious stronghold, as we call it, we can find in one of these three things. The first thing that we talked about was purpose. And we said that there are a lot of people who live under constant anxiety and a lot of other things because of this whole idea of wanting to know what is my purpose in life and why am I here, and you know, and a lot of people, really, you've read about people ending their lives over this because they'll say there's no point in me living and things like that, which means then that they've started off with some idea that there is some point to start. I got to make this comment. If you hear me sniffling, I got some dust some kind of way in around here, and that's what's going on. So, Sister Jasmine, could you do me a favor? Yes, that's what I was doing, Sister Lori. If you could bring that, yeah, because I'm going to keep trying to pretend here that I'm not sniffling. We're live. Okay. And I don't know how that happened. Excuse me, you all. I try to do this in a way that's professional and not too bad here on live TV. All right, now, all right, so we talked about purpose, and we talked about how when we were dealing with purpose, that a lot of people will spend a lot of time concerning themselves about what exactly they're supposed to be doing. Now, I said that once we got through this lesson, ultimately, it would free you. It shouldn't be something. Now, initially, it might make you feel kind of bad because you might say, well, then that means I have no real purpose and there was no real purpose for my life. And that really isn't where you should end up. What it's supposed to do is relieve your anxiety from stressing so much over trying to find exactly what it is you're supposed to be doing. When the scriptures say in several places, the whole duty of man, Solomon said, was to fear God and to keep his commandments. He says that's really the whole duty. Jesus even verified that for us when he began to talk about the greatest commandments. He said that the greatest is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, your neighbor as yourself. And basically then that this is what God expects from us. Okay, then there are places where Solomon will write and he'll say things like, put your hand to the plow and you do certain things because you don't know what's going to prosper, either this or that. But he says, whatever you find to put your hand to it and do it with all your might. And I made a comment on one Sunday, somewhat jokingly, but at the same time, seriously, making people understand, when I said some people may say, well, did God call you to preach? I was like, I like to assume he did. But at the same time, the Bible, I told you, says that, you know, if man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. And then it tells you what you have to do to qualify for that. So at that point, it doesn't appear that I've got to spend all my time constantly seeking God out, asking him, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do this? Put your hand to what you have a desire to do. And trust me, if God doesn't want you doing something, he has a way of shutting it down. Now, that doesn't have to mean that we don't experience the amount of what we might consider the success we would like to see. That's different from God blocking you or shutting something down. And I showed you all that as the example of the job that I tried to get in Florida and several different times where the door seemed to be wide open and then it just completely closed. You know when God is telling you don't go in a particular direction. So this should relieve you of the stress. I use getting married as another example, and that was that what? There are so many people in the world, and I said that even if you could begin to narrow it down, when you start getting into issues of race and issues of age, and you get into all of the different things that may have something to do with who you marry, that number of people still could be quite a few people. And to believe that there's one out of that group that God has said that's the one, not only can that end up creating a lot of stress for you while you're searching for that one, but also it could create a lot of delusion and opportunities for Satan to work havoc in your life if you marry someone and then it's not going well. Because then you begin to say, well, maybe I didn't marry the right one. Well, you got to realize that that's not how God does that. God gives us parameters for marriage. God tells us a group of people we should not marry. God says that we should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But other than that, God says that you're free to marry as long as what? You marry a believer. Well, once you marry them, then God gives you certain parameters in which you must operate in marriage. But other than that, there's nothing in here that would indicate to you that there's certain things you have to wait on from God to make sure it's the exact one out of all the billions of people on the planet. Now, you would think you would see how that should really bring some relief to your life versus it being more stressful, if anything, because now I'm not searching. It's like buying a car. You know, is there one car in particular God wants you to have? Can you imagine with all the cars that are out there, all the automobiles, all the stuff, searching and trying to find the car God wants you to have? Now, a lot of times people will say, well, the way God deals with them, there are certain things that will happen that will get them to whatever exactly it is that God wants. May very well be okay. But what I'm saying is that the scriptures don't teach that kind of stuff. And we have to be very careful because some of the stuff we end up doing is really borderline witchcraft. That's all it is. I mean, it's nothing different than what the people are doing when you're calling them on the psychic hotline, you know, to find out what it is that God has or what is their future or something like that, because you have no scripture to back up what you're doing. All you have is experience, and whenever you're just working with experience, you want to be careful, all right? Because experience not backed up by scripture can lead to all kind of demonic deception and other types of things, or just human spiritual deception in and of yourself. You're just deceiving yourself into believing something is. The second thing that we talked about was truth. So I want you to think about it now. All of the different things that get people all hung up, somewhere caught up in purpose, you know, where what's my purpose? What should I be doing? What should you be doing? What should anybody be doing? What is the purpose of anything? Next, we moved into truth. And we talked about how first the baseline truth was the word of God. The Bible said that God exalts his word above his name. And then Jesus came and said that he came to bear witness to the truth, that there was one God, and he was the mediator between God and us, he the Son of God, and that he came down from heaven. In other words, Jesus says, look, I'm not like any other philosopher. I'm not like your pastor. I'm not like your teacher in school. I'm not like Buddha or Krishna or any of these other people who philosophically explain to you how to get into the cosmos or whatever. I am the Son of God. I came down from heaven. I'm telling y'all how this works, right? Paul said, we don't understand the mystery of godliness. He said, God was manifest in the flesh. Like John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh. We don't understand how that all works and how it all happens. We try to explain the Trinity as best we can in terms of God, and the three personages of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But at the same time, we don't fully understand all of that, but we know that Jesus was, in fact, divine and the Son of God, and that he was fully man at the same time. Now, that is the truth. And we said from there, all other truth has to emanate. So when people start saying, well, that's your truth, this is my truth, I'm living my authentic self, and all of these things you're hearing out there now, you are going to find that as you try to track them back to the truth of the Word of God, they don't stand under the scrutiny of the Word. And that all of these different things that people are discovering as truth is really now leading us into an hour of super chaos. All you have to do is go out in the world right now and look. The world has gone crazy. Okay? And for probably the first time in history, the world is totally connected. In other words, you've got all these people on social media platforms, TV platforms, all of different things that are going on. And so all of this stuff is now hooked together and is now coming at people at a pace that they can hardly keep up with it themselves. And there's just so much chaos going on in the world. And therefore, it opens this door for all of these different false ideas, false teachings, false attitudes, false gods, and all of this stuff to rise up to allow people now to take positions that at one time were just absolutely ridiculous. I was reading in the paper just yesterday that there was a woman that they banned from some zoo. I can't remember what city it was in, because she claimed that the gorilla at the zoo was in love with her, and she was in love with the gorilla. So she had been going to the zoo to visit him, and you know, folks, it's just too much craziness now. There comes a point where you have to rip. But she insisted that these people just did not understand what was going on, but they banned her for the time being. But again, once you open the floodgates up, all kind of things will come pouring out as so-called truth. Then last week we dealt with what I said was the last of the stronghold cord, I like to call it, and it was timing. And I said that I read a scripture out of Ecclesiastes that talked about a threefold cord. And even though I took it a little out of its context, the point I was trying to make was the fact that whenever you have a threefold cord, it's not easily broken. So if you have a person, think about it like this. If you're that person, I hope you're not, but if you were a person, let's say, who believed that God has a specific purpose for you, all right? Specific. You don't get to decide. God's already decided why you're here on this planet. And you believe that you can determine what truth is, you know, in terms of, you know, truth and who you believe God is versus who God says he is. In other words, you play loose and fast with the word. And then you're off in your idea of timing. That is a threefold cord that is very difficult to break, because those kind of people, when you meet them, you know them when you meet them. These are the people who say stuff like, well, you know, I'm just trying to do the thing that I'm supposed to be doing. I'm just trying to make sure I take care of the business I'm supposed to do while I'm here. I'm trying to make the mark I'm supposed to make. I'm just trying to do all this. And you know how God is. God's going to make sure. And they'll begin to talk about God in a way that the Bible doesn't talk about him. And finally, they'll say things like, and we've heard it before, well, you know, God does everything in his time when he wants to do it the way he wants to do it. And so if I'm supposed to die next week, I'll just be dead. And if this is supposed to happen, it's going to happen. Well, you know how it is. God must have just decided. And none of that stuff is scriptural. Now, I'm going to show you some scriptures I didn't read to you Sunday, but I'm going to read this to you out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, and this is after Jesus rose from the dead. And the disciples, again, were concerned because they were bound by the stronghold of timing as it related to the kingdom of God and when Jesus was going to take over. You know, this is what binds the Jews today, this stronghold of timing in their minds of how the kingdom is supposed to come and in what time. And it continues to make them hold to the fact that because they believe on a certain timeline that the Messiah has not come. He could not have come. And when you have your timing off in a stronghold, you can really create some problems for yourself. And so in Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 6. This is what it says. When they were come, therefore, come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the earth. All right, so we see then in verse 7 that Jesus takes the position with them to explain something to them. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, on Sunday, in the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm going to go back over there, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I reiterated this point to you and said, you know, I've seen whole books written on this topic of, you know, purpose and season and all that and time the two together, when actually when you read this, you'll see that all this does is reiterate what Jesus said, that there are certain times and seasons that are in God's control that it's not for us to know. There are some things about it that we can know, but at the same time, we want to be careful about it. This is what it says in Ecclesiastes: to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So we see then that the Bible tells us that, and let's look at this verse, let's keep it up there. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So we understand then that time is tied to purpose. All right? You see that? To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose. So the timing is tied to purpose. Now, what I've seen some people do is say, well, your purpose, you know, and this is what God's talking about. But then nowhere does he mention your purpose in the things to come. So he says there is a time to every purpose. Then he begins to tell us the purposes, the types of things that he's talking about. So let's look a little further in verse 2. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to loose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. Then he goes down, a time of love and a time of hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So we see then in each of these situations that God ties the time to the purpose that is under heaven. All right, so in other words, this is not so much saying, look, wrote Eric White, I have a purpose for you and you better get with it because you only have so much time. That's not what this is saying. It doesn't say that. It says there's a time associated with purposes. But when he's talking about time, it's about understanding the concept of timing. You know, it's not time for everything. You know how sometimes, I don't know if you know this or not, children will be doing something and my kids would be doing something and I'd say, look, I'm going to need y'all to take a time out on that. Okay? It's not time for that. Or we're in the store and they're doing something. Look, it's not time for that. So we're not saying that there is a set minute for you to do what you're doing. No, that what it means is what you're doing right now is inappropriate for this moment that we're in. That's not appropriate. Now, it doesn't matter if it's midnight, 6 o'clock, or 3 o'clock. You should not be doing what you're doing right now. It's time out for that. It's not the time for that purpose, that thing that you're doing. This is why when people will say, well, look what it says. There's a time to die. A time to die. Well, absolutely there's a time to die. Everybody gonna die. This does not mean that God has set a time specific for you to die. Now, let me tell you why this just messes up people's minds. It's almost as if to take the position that God does not purposely sit back and orchestrate every single thing that happens, that somehow we're belittling God or we're taking his power away from him. You have to see God's sovereignty just like you would see your own, let's say, at a house. If you own a house and you're the sovereign over your house, you get to make decisions. But when you leave someone at your house, you give them instructions and you tell them what you expect them to do. They don't always do it. But that doesn't any less make you sovereign. It was your house. It's still your house. So you have sovereignty. So God, in his sovereignty, created the earth, created man, and then he created seasons, times, and things like that that are in his control and his power. And some things God put in place that it doesn't matter what you do, they come no matter what. Right now, it's hurricane season. Now, no matter what we try to do, this hurricane season. And so the hurricanes come, even though what? We wish they weren't. Every now and then a hurricane may come a little out of season or a little before, but you almost never get it at a certain time. Why? Because God has set the time and the season for that. That's in God's control and he set it. Then there are things that God has within his control in the sense that they're there, but God has not orchestrated the exact moment for that thing. As an example, people will say in the Bible, it says it's appointed to men once to die, then the judgment. So there you go right there. See, you got an appointment with God for death. And that's not what that says. It says it's appointed to men once to die. In other words, that's a season of time that's been appointed. When it happens just depends. But the point is that God has not individually decided for each person what day that's going to be. Now, I know this is so hard for people. Just follow with me and listen to me because this will help you live a little bit longer. if you understood this, then what you would do is you would be a lot less cavalier about how you live. You'd say to yourself, okay, wait a minute now. I need to control my weight. I need to control my diet, exercise, the things that I do, the kind of things I involve myself in, the kind of hobbies I have. More people get killed out doing certain kinds of hobbies simply because what? They're not paying attention. That's why they give you a safety course. But it wasn't God's intention for somebody to shoot you, but you ended up shot. Why? Because somebody wasn't paying attention. Maybe you didn't have your little orange hunting gear on, whatever the point was. But God, it wasn't his plan for that to happen to you. And we have to understand these things, because if we don't, what ends up happening is we keep ascribing to God the evil that Satan will put on us because we have left him an advantage. We open an advantage by having these kind of timeline, timing strongholds. All right? So now listen to me. There are some people, we said, that they don't understand timing when it relates to, let's say, for instance, getting married. There is no time in the Bible that says when you ought to get married. But the Bible does indicate to us that there is an age bracket at times where God begins to deal with us about how we ought to handle certain people. Matter of fact, in one place, when Paul was talking to Timothy and he was talking about how should we handle women who were widows, okay? In other words, women whose husbands had passed, how should we handle them? Should the church take care of them? How should we do that, etc.? And Paul, in talking to Timothy, told him, when it comes to dealing with women that are widows, he said, don't take any into the care of the church if they are less than 60 years old. Okay, he actually set an age. He said, and let me read it to you. It's out of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9. He said, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. So Paul is saying, when you're looking at the concept of marriage and the timing, he says, he basically set a line to suggest that even in church, if a woman wasn't married and had been lost a husband or whatever, you should not take her in as a widow that the church takes care of if she's less than 60 years old. Paul says, and let me tell you what he says. Look at the rest of what he says. He says, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. So in other words, Paul says, look, this is what something I understand about marriage, women, men, etc. When you are less than 60, he says, for women who've been married once to a husband who's died, don't bring them into church and think they're going to want to stay here and pray all day and that's all they're going to want to do. He says, forget it. Let them. He says, what's going to happen? You're going to bring them in and eventually they're going to get tired of being in the church praying and seeking God all the time and that's all they do. And eventually they're going to want a man. He says, so tell you what, the younger women that are widows, let them do what they're doing out there, and if they want to get married again, fine. They don't get themselves in trouble by making a commitment to God that they're going to be in the church and then all of a sudden breaking free to get married. So he sets a timing on it. But that's not that he's saying that what? Well, you got to get married before you're 60. That's not what he's saying. But he sets a time on when the church should receive a widow based on age. Now, there are some people who don't understand that when you're trying to get them to realize, young kids especially, that maybe it's not time for something. Well, again, if you really believe that things happen when in God's time, if God doesn't want them to happen, they won't happen. Let's say you believe that. That's a timing issue. That's a stronghold. If you go through the scriptures, you're going to see consistently there are lots of things that happen that God did not want to happen. And this, I don't know why people find it so hard to understand. The Bible is filled with that kind of stuff. God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree in the garden. They ate from the tree in the garden. God told Joshua certain things he wanted to get done. Joshua did them. God told Saul things he wanted him to do. Saul didn't do them. There were things God told Solomon to do. He did some. Some he didn't do. He told Ahab what he wanted done. He didn't do it. You see, So there are lots of things that God will prescribe, but people don't do it. So to suggest that somehow everything that happens, happens because that's the way God timed it, you got to get out of that kind of thinking. Now, does God, can God time things? Absolutely. Jesus said, God keeps things in his own time that he chooses. But at the same time, that doesn't mean he's picked a time. Okay, you got to understand this. So in other words, it's my intention to do everything I can to try to live as long as I can. I don't have any predetermined thought process about the fact that somehow God has a day with my name on it. I try to do everything that I can to live my life out as healthy as I can. But at the same time, I read the scriptures to know that God has in several places said that he will use sickness and early death as discipline, which means that God very well could at a certain time that you're not expecting. This is why Solomon in one place referred to something as an untimely birth. Okay, so if everything was in God's time, then there would be no such thing as an untimely birth. In another place, Solomon said, why would you die early? Why have an untimely death? So once again, he's making it clear that it is very possible that babies are born before most people would want them or expect them to be, and God did not control that. And likewise, the same thing with people who die. So what we need to understand is that we, now let me tell you how this can really impact your life and get you off track if you're not careful. When you start thinking about how much time, let's say you have left, okay, people will say that all the time, you know, in any situation, time starts running on everything that's going on, right? There's time, the clock is turning. God, though, says that 1,000 years with him is like a day. All right, let me see. Let's put that scripture up there. That was 2 Peter chapter 3, and I think it's around verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me get over there. I think it's around verse 10. Well, let's see if we can look at it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. This is what it says. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Okay, y'all see that right there? Be not ignorant. Pastor not going to use the word stupid tonight. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. All right, so now we can see clearly that what? God has said it plainly that as far as he's concerned, when it comes to time, 1,000 years is like a day to God. So if that's really the case, and this is really the way God sees things, then we've got to be clear and understand that what? Our life, which is why James says it in the book of James, our life is like a vapor. And this is why Jesus said, let's get back to Matthew chapter 6. Let's go over here and look at that. Matthew chapter 6. And see, if you really follow what I'm telling you, I'm going to try to get the stress out your life and stop you so you won't be so depressed about things sometime. All right, so we get to Matthew chapter 6. And let's look at verse 30, Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Look at what Jesus says. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field which is today, or which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? All right, so you see right here where he says, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not more clothe you? Okay, now I want you to think about something. Solomon said this in several places. James said it. And throughout the Bible, this is why I'm excited about you all reading all the scriptures as you're reading them right now. You're in the book of Peter. And if you're listening and really paying attention to what's going on, you're going to see that ultimately what's happening is the Bible is consistent in what God is saying about our lives. In God's, if you were to use God's timing at all, our life doesn't even show up on the clock, okay? Because 1,000 years with God is like a day. Then the Bible also talks about how God consistently, our lives are like vapor. James said, your life is but a vapor. He said, so instead of you going somewhere and bragging about what you're going to do this year or that next year. You should say, if the Lord wills, I'm going to do it, right? So when it comes down to timing, we've got to understand that the biggest thing that God is concerned about, and this is why I say that, you know, when I listen to some of these swami people, I call them, you know, everybody's got some bit of truth in this poison that they got tied up out there, which ties into the second stronghold I'm talking about of truth. In other words, people, you hear them all the time talking about how God, we are all one with God and everyone is part of God and everything is part of the universe. To some extent, there's a little grain of truth in that with a whole bunch of poison around it. Because Jesus said, Father, I pray that they might be one as we are one, and that they might be in me as I am in you. So Jesus's prayer was that we would be and come to a place of understanding our oneness, if you will, with God. But not everyone is one with God. All right. So when you go on to see these people on the Oprah Winfrey show and all these other things, and they're talking about this oneness and the secret, and we all have an access to God through our own path, that's not true. See, that's why I said that we have to take a position that Jesus ultimately is just a liar, because Jesus made it plain and made it easy to either accept him or reject him. And that is that he said, everyone who's come before me and the people that come after me are thieves and robbers. I am the true shepherd. I am the door. I am the way. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. Few there be that find it. Narrow is the path. I'm the path. I'm the door. I'm the way. So it is true that we can be one with God, but only in our completeness in Christ. So it really is God's intention. Now, on Sunday, I said, made a comment about, you know, look, stop making it so hard. What you want to do is, you know, just, and I said, go get you a hamburger or something. Stop worrying your nerves with all that. My point was that a lot of people put a lot of effort into all these different things they're doing to become one with God. I said, you go and you read all these things talking about how it's time for the world. Here we go again with timing. It's time for everyone in the world to become one with God and all of us to get on the same page. But when you begin to listen to them, they bring in even all the evil that goes on. Everything is from God. And all the evil is just a balance of the good, and we're all headed back to God. And then I said they will have you spending time, and then they'll tell you that it's important that you get in sync with God. In other words, God has a time. Here we go again. It's all about timing. God has a time. And they'll start telling you, God's time typically is very early in the morning. And so I heard this guy saying that we have to all get up early in the morning. And then you have to sync your timing and your sequence. Now, let me tell you how a lot of companies, and even Apple, and you'll see it on those Apple Watches and all this, are getting people accustomed to some of this same stuff, is they'll be telling you things like, you need to be mindful of your breathing, okay? You need to stop and breathe. And when you breathe, you need to be conscious of your breathing. And then they'll tell you, stand up, and for so many seconds, you need to breathe, right? And even these watches now have a function on them that actually literally will breathe, and you breathe with the function. All this is actually, all folks, I'm telling you, some of this is human design, but some of this stuff is Lucifer. I mean, because in his attempt to put the world on this whole idea and timeline of his Messiah coming back, right? When we've already said that God in his time and his season said Jesus would come back when he was ready, but at the same time, that has already occurred for the first coming. He's already come. But instead, the whole world is being put on this idea that we have to synchronize ourselves for the coming Christ. Now, a lot of people will say, yeah, but I haven't heard that anywhere. You haven't heard it if you don't go deep enough into what's going on out there. But you don't need to, because everybody's being kind of programmed for it. All right, my wife and I were talking about this the other day. Pay attention to the commercials that you watch now. And watch and see how many commercials now have all these very strange couples in them. I mean, you know, in terms of the racial makeup and stuff like that, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, you see somebody's black, somebody's white, the kids look like they from China. Everybody like, whoa, stop. What's going on? What's happening is people's minds being programmed and synchronized to accept this whole concept of us all being on one accord at the same time, that somehow that's necessary for God to usher in his presence. And all of that is just not true. And there are not all these converging paths. They're not all converging. They all converge. You know, to hell is where they converge into. But the point is that there's one path. That takes us back to the truth. That's why I said this whole concept of a threefold cord is not easily broken. You know, one time somebody said, and I mentioned this Sunday, I think, well, you know, that stuff's kind of deep, what you're talking about. So I'm like, I ain't trying to make it too deep. You know, so I've heard this about four or five times. I don't want to make it too deep. I think that if you pay attention, you'll see what I'm talking about. On a simple day, most people get very, very agitated, frustrated, or depressed about where they are in life. You know, my life, by now I thought I'd be doing this, or by now I thought I'd be doing that, or I don't think that I'm really where I ought to be, and I wish I could be somewhere different. All of that is tied to this idea of purpose. If I could get you to understand that when you were born, God wasn't sitting in heaven going, okay, clock started, times are running now, and the bottom line is, if you don't find out why you're here, by the time you're a certain age, your time's run out, and you missed it. That's not what's going on. The biggest thing that people need to do first is to get saved. They need to get into Christ. And once they get into Christ, the Bible then tells us we are one with God. Now, at that point, it's really now becomes more about experiencing our oneness in Christ. Not like Buddha. Remember what I told you, that what a lot of these people do? One of the guys now, he says that, you know, you have to get up early. I told you there's a timing with God. You got to get up early and you got to position yourself right. That's why you got to be careful when you go out there searching on the internet for music to listen to while you pray. Be careful. Some of the music that people are incorporating into the church is also coming out of like Buddhist circles and other stuff like that. And some of this music is specifically toned to the very types of cadences that these people pray when they're praying to these gods that they're seeking to come and be one with them, which we know, as Paul said, that an idol is nothing. But at the same time, we know that God says that any other spirit is not a holy spirit and is, in fact, a demon. And we need to understand that. And so we need to make sure that the things we are listening to and whatever we're doing makes sense. There was a guy that wrote a book. I'm not going to call his name. It's not important. But he talks about having these face-to-face encounters with Jesus. And he's talking about how now is the time. See, here we go again. It's timing. It's God's time now. And he's got a new thing he's doing. And now what he wants to do is meet face to face with his children. And he wants you all to see him. But when you read the book and go through the book, because I just went through the book so I could figure out what was wrong with it, because I knew what something wasn't right about it, was that he spends a nice little chapter on talking about music that you listen to, the time of morning you get up, and then how to repeat over and over again certain statements and things as you listen to this music and open your mind for God to manifest himself. Okay, now, you got to realize that what's going on here is that what God wants us to do is he does want us to come into oneness with him, but not through those types of mechanisms and techniques. God wants us to be approach him as God and to recognize and understand that God will carry us through this life. And one of the best ways to really look at it is if you read the book of Esther. When you read the book of Esther, what's interesting about the book of Esther, and you'll hear people say it all the time, well, you know, the Bible, maybe for such a time as this, you're here. And they'll say that like that's their purpose, you know, for such a time as this, I'm here. But that's not what Esther said. Matter of fact, Esther didn't say it. Mordecai said it, who was her uncle. What basically happened was Esther was the queen, and a decree had been given out to kill all the Jews. Well, her uncle Mordecai came to her and said, Esther, this is the decree that's been given. We need you to go and ask the king to maybe not do this. And she said, look, I can't go in there because he hasn't called for me. There's a law that if the king doesn't call for you, if you go in his presence and he doesn't hold his scepter out, you're toast. He's going to kill you. They kill you for that. And Mordecai said to her, he said, all I can say is this. God is going to deliver us one way or the other. But if you don't go in there and do what you can, don't think that you're going to escape. He said, and who knows? Maybe for such a time as this, you're here. See, he didn't say, Esther, oh, now I got it. Remember when you were born? And remember when I brought you here? And remember when all this happened? That's why God did it. That was your purpose. We never found out what Esther's purpose was. We assume that probably was it. But Esther was just doing what she was doing. She was just living. So Esther said, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go pray and fast, and then I'm going in there. And if I die, I die. Now, that doesn't sound like somebody that knows, well, it's my purpose to go in here and tell the king because I know I'm going to live. Esther said, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. And then that scripture that says, for such a time as this, maybe you're there, was never intended for you to be frustrating yourself with, maybe this is why I'm here. Maybe this is why I'm here. I mean, I've read books where people will say, well, what makes you mad? What gets you angry? If it gets you angry, that's probably tied to your purpose. That's how you know, whatever makes you mad. Well, what if everything make you mad? Everything can't be your purpose, right? There's all kind of stuff make me mad. I'm mad all day long sometimes with a lot of stuff I see going on, but I can't address everything going on out there, right? So what you've got to understand is that God, you were born. You have to relax and say to yourself, okay, I was born. Okay. I didn't really know what I wanted to do through life. And maybe at some point you decided you wanted to go be a nurse. Well, and so now you're a nurse. And Paul said, when you get saved, abide in the calling that you're called in. So all of a sudden now you're a nurse and now people are trying to convince you that maybe, you know, maybe God wants you to go do this. Maybe God wants you to go do that. Well, you see how confusing that could be? And if now all of a sudden you start sitting around saying, well, you know, a nurse, I mean, that's all I'm doing and I'm not really doing, I could be doing something else for God. You see, no. Paul said, abide in the calling wherein you've been called. Now, if God has something different, and I've told people I believe this is what I can prove from the scriptures. If God has something different he wants to do, God knows how to really get up in your life to make that happen. You see it throughout the scriptures. You see it with Moses. You see it with Joseph. You see it with Pharaoh. You see it with Paul. You see it with Daniel. There's certain people throughout the scriptures that you can see when God has a particular thing he wants you to do, there's nothing you're going to be able to do to get around it if you're praying and asking God to show you what to do. God can get in there and do it. But other than that, don't frustrate yourself every day pushing and trying to hear from God about what should I be doing? Because sometimes our frustration is just a matter that we don't know how to be content. Paul said, this is what I have learned, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That didn't mean go out and do everything in the world. Paul was talking about the conditions I find myself in. I have learned I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So now, for whatever reason, I'm a nurse or I'm a doctor or whatever I am. I'm a janitor. I'm an airplane pilot. I'm a whatever I am. And now I'm saved. Well, what do I do? Well, I want to grow in my relationship with Jesus. Now, I don't know how many of you all out there that this would impact, but there are a lot of people that this is the first time that they actually have read nearly as many books of the Bible as you've read if you've asked what I've asked you to do over these last couple months. And by doing that, now that you're in Peter, you realize that even with the first chapter of Peter, everything is about Jesus and us becoming one with him and living our lives in a way that are presentable to God. He tells us how to act as husbands, how to act as wives, how to act as married people one toward another, how to act as children, how to act as parents toward children, how to act on our job, how to act as a church, how to act as a church toward the world, how to act as a church toward other believers. Everything in the scriptures are designed with this understanding that we are here waiting on Jesus to come back. And while we're here, we're told to occupy until he comes. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, what good is it for? You might as well throw it out." The point is that we're here to keep preserving what is here until God comes back. We continue to minister the word of God to one another. We pray one for another. Jesus said, "This is how people will know you're my disciples. You're love one for another." And so when Jesus was praying, let me go to John. I didn't ask him to put this scripture up. I think it's in John chapter 17. This is before Jesus was leaving. Okay, it's in John 17. I'm going to read this to you all. Now, in John 17, beginning at verse 9, this is what Jesus says. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have lost none except the son of perdition, that the word might be fulfilled." So we see then that Jesus is praying for this oneness that God really does want to have with us. He wants us to be, and see, so while we're so busy scrambling for earthly purposes, God is trying to build relationship with us and us with each other so that when the inheritance comes that's been laid up for us, matter of fact, you saw that today in let me get over here to the first chapter of Peter. You should have read that today, as a matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to see if I can get over here right quick. This is what it says, 1 Peter chapter 1. And beginning at verse 4, he says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." In other words, God has what? Saved us, washed us, brought us into the family of God, and has for us an inheritance. That's why the Bible says our life is hid with God. So instead of me scrambling all over the place for purpose, I should be really trying to do like the scripture says in Colossians. "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for your life is hid with God." Now, I'm not telling you to go out and don't have any ambition. I'm not telling you to do that. What I'm trying to do is free you. Because if you get free, then you understand you're really free to do almost anything you want to do. That's why Paul said, "All things are lawful for me. All things may not be expedient, but all things are lawful to me." If I want to be a lawyer, I can go be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor, I can go be a doctor. If I want to be a dentist, I can be a dentist. If I want to be a pastor, the only thing that stops me from doing it is my intellect. If I don't have the intellect to do it or the ability to go do it or the funds, that's the only thing that stops me, okay? It's not that God is sitting here saying, "Oh, no, White, I'm sorry. I called you to be a lawyer, and that's all you can be, period." That's not, no. I mean, think about the life, think about the kind of control God would be extending over our lives if that were what was going on, okay? So that means then that some people, God just decided you're going to be a janitor all your life. You don't have no choice in it. You are just going to be a janitor. You're going to work at McDonald's. You're going to do it. Why? No, we're doing some of these jobs because this is just where we positioned ourselves and there's not too much more we could do at a moment or something. It's not because what? We've been forced there and we have to stay there. We have to realize that God, in purpose, in his timing, and when we look at the truth of this, that God wants us to come to an understanding and tear down all these strongholds tied to all of this. That's what this whole thing was about. See, because next week, well, actually Sunday looks like we may have a problem with the hurricane, so we may not have service on Sunday. But right now I'm saying the next service that we end up having, when we start talking about the scripture in Corinthians, we're going to move away from strongholds and we're going to start talking about imagination, because that's a real, real place that creates a lot of the problems the Bible tells us about. We want to cast those down. But we want to understand this threefold cord here, because all of this stronghold thinking that comes rushing out of the ideas of purpose. And that's why I said the next time you start feeling depressed or you start feeling anxious about stuff in life or whatever, I want you to ask yourself the question, is it tied to your purpose, whatever you think that ought to be? Is it tied to the truth of the matter of who Jesus says he is and what he says you are? Do you understand it? Are you sensing it? Do you know it? Or is it tied to something with timing? You know, you're not where you want to be, where you think you ought to be, da, da, da. And I'm telling you, you're going to find that that's where most of this thinking that is keeping you bound is coming from. And it all has to be thought through the lens of the Word of God. If you do that, you relieve yourself of a whole lot of stress. Like I said, in your marriage, you don't look around anymore saying, well, maybe I married the wrong person. Who was the right person? Okay, come on, now stop it. Just let that go. There's no such thing as I married the wrong person. There must have been a reason you got married to start. Okay, and whatever that reason was, you thought it was right when you did it. And obviously, either you're not applying the Word of God to your life, or whatever you did, you didn't do what you were supposed to do to get going and doing it God's way. So get out of the purpose thing, because if you stay there, you're going to be looking then again for the right person, the right car, the right thing. And the reality is, these are decisions you have to make on your own. And the same thing when it comes to the timing that's associated with what you're doing. Yes. Looks like we got some prayer requests. So before we get ready to close from online. Okay, all right, we got a couple online prayer requests. We're going to do those before we close. Thank you. And we're going to make sure that we take care of that. All right. We want to pray for Sister Monique concerning a blood pressure issue. And we want to pray for Lucy Bowley. In ICU with COVID. So before we get ready to close right now tonight, you all, let's go to God in prayer. The Bible says that if we touch and agree is concerning anything, that God will do it, and we believe it, and we pray by faith according to the Word of God. So let's do that before we get ready to dismiss. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bring these two people before you even now. Sister Bowley, who is in the ICU, and Sister Monique, concerning these issues that they have presented before us. Father, we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works through your church. And Father, right now we unite with these people now in prayer, all of us online, those of who are here in the building right now, believing and knowing that from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, you are able to bring healing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you would deal with this blood pressure situation even now in Jesus' name. We know that you're able to do it. We thank you, Father, for all that you do, for the glory, your power, and your ability through the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, now this is what I want to do, everybody. Don't forget that we'll get back with you probably Sunday. We may, because it appears that we're going to have a hurricane coming through here, so we may end up not having service on Sunday to make sure that we're not here at the time. They say the weather is going to be kind of bad early Sunday morning and maybe somewhere in there. So we're going to, we'll get out to you and let you know what we're going to be doing one way or the other. But for sure, we should be back Wednesday in prayer, depending on how the hurricane turns out, but it looks like it may vary in different places. But at the same time, we expect we would be back for prayer and definitely for Bible study next week. So I want to take this opportunity again to thank everybody that's been online. Spend a little more time in this series. I think it'll help you. I think it'll help you to kind of grow in your walk with God and grow in your understanding of how thinking can really bind us up and slow us down in growing into the things that God wants for our life. So until next time, God bless you all. And we just want to tell you, be safe out there. And we will see you all next time. Amen. God bless you.